This episode of Spittin' Chiclets is brought to you by MyBookie. Now, if you're watching games, it's time to start making some money. MyBookie is the industry's leading website that hooks you up with all your betting needs. And with their great odds, fast payouts, and decades of expertise, you can bet with confidence. Your team doesn't even have to win. They just need to cover the spread. So what are you waiting for? Lay down some cash today and win big. Or if you know your team sucks, do yourself a favor and bet against them. So if they lose, you make some money. And if they win, you're still happy. So where you bet is just as important as who you're betting on. That's why I'm urging you to make your way to MyBookie. I trust them, but you don't have to take my word for it. Check them out yourself. And if you've been sitting on the sidelines all season like a pigeon and haven't manned up yet, now it's time to get on the action. Due to popular demand, MyBookie's 100% bonus will be available for only one more week. That's right. After Sunday, you can kiss it goodbye. So get it before it's too late. They have in-game live betting and a mobile site that makes wagering on the go easier than ever. You can also check out their online casino if you'd rather just play a few hands in the good old blackjack or roll some dice and craps. So join now and MyBookie will match your deposit up to 100% bonus for the last time this year. Use promo code SPIT to activate the offer. That's S-P-I-T. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 50. William Wallace killed 50 men as if they were one.
Did I say that we'd go to Vegas for 50? Or was that 100?
Well, we'd have to pay on our own to get us out. That's okay. So that's probably good. That ain't happening.
Hey, we have somebody on the couch.
Episode 50 Spit Chiclets brought to you by Barstool Sports. Ryan Whitney.
Yep, what's
say
up?
It.
I already said it.
What up, what up?
I already
producer.
Said it.
How are you guys?
Mikey Grinnelli. And we're bringing in a local guy.
He played local legend.
Yep. He's our fourth Hobie Baker winner we've had on the last just several months.
We have four?
Yeah, we had Jimmy Veazey, Jack Eichel, Johnny Gaudreau, and we have a fellow Boston
Another
College.
BC
there
guy.
Been three Hobie Baker winners from BC. This is not Dave Emmer. It's not Johnny Gaudreau. It is Mike Motto. Say hello, Mike.
Hello. How are we doing?
What an intro, huh?
Yeah.
When was the last time you had one like that?
I feel like I have to come out of the curtain right now.
Ed McMahon. Oh, yes.
In the closet.
Oh, no. Hey, no. 2016. It's all good.
So, 2017.
Mike, just to get some of our younger listeners up to speed, you were drafted in what year was it?
97.
97. You played 4 years at BC, won the Hobie Baker. Hobie Baker Trophy. You had yourself a nice nine. Well, you played 14 years professionally, roughly, I think. Nine NHL seasons, parts with Rangers, Flames, Devils, Islanders, Bruins, Panthers. Had a nice little run for yourself.
We traveled.
Yeah, suitcase.
So, what have you been doing? What are you doing with yourself nowadays? You still involved with the game at all, or are you just kind of like being the retired dad?
You know, his son's a player too, so he's involved in the younger guys' game for sure.
Yeah, I coach with. The break is, it's Bay State break is the 05 level, 12-year-olds, you know, so I'm trying to shape the youth a bit. And I scout part-time with the Chicago Blackhawks, and I work at Morgan Stanley full-time. That's like not my full-time job, so it's like financial
advisor. Yeah, so you're legit very busy now, though.
Yeah, and I have four kids that...
Not a big deal. Congrats on the sex.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
well, Courtney couldn't keep her hands off me.
With you coaching now, though, like, with you coaching now, younger kids, are you working on, like, hopefully your skill development? Are you, like, are you screaming out to forecheck and stuff? You working on the hands. You love working on the hands, right?
No, all I care for, honestly, is, like, the process. I'm like, skill development is, like, everyone's doing skills. Every, like, jabroni's like, skills.
Yeah, I teach skills.
Yeah. So next thing you know, I'm like, all right, so no one's teaching the game, like up here.
Right. Exactly. Right.
The hockey intellect. That's why Witt was good. He had good skill, but like he could think. He could outthink the next dude. So
you can think on the ice. Get him off the ice. It's a different story.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, but I'm still an open book of how I am.
So at the end of it, though, I'm trying to help these kids like develop like real hockey IQ and like you can, you know, kind of construct some drills for that and try to keep them, you know, kind of involved. But like at the end of the day, it's tough to try to teach that.
Well, and I think that's really true, because if you look at a guy that has the best skill in the world, maybe he skates so fast, you know, amazing hands, sick shot. But if they don't have hockey sense, it's like you'll never really get anywhere. And so for you, I think that at least at the pro level, you weren't like the fastest player, but you were so smart. You were able to play for 15 years because of having the stuff that you're like trying to teach now. Would you not agree? Like, especially as the game got faster.
Yeah, well, I would have to be in better position.
Yeah.
Use your head to be in better position defensively. Offensively, you can wait a dude out or whatever. Just like, but like skill, meaning like puck on the tape is like, you know, as a defenseman, like that's just do that.
You know, bad forwards just want it on their tape at speed. Like, they're just like, if I can get that, please. But when you're picking it up off your skate or off the wall, or it's a fucking chunky meat sauce pass, and they can't handle it cleanly, they're so frustrated now.
So, like, I ultimately made it to the NHL because my head was valued by the New Jersey Devils. You know, so I could make a skilled play. I'm giving the bunny ears. For the listeners.
We're getting close.
No, you had some. No, we'll go into the skill level.
But like it a backhand pass up the middle to the open player.
He's so good.
It was the right play. And then, you know, whatever. It's not sexy to the, you know, fan.
To the layman.
But you're out of the zone.
Exactly. You're doing your job.
With speed.
Now, you said you mentioned the Devils, your first team you were with. I know you played with the Devils, the Islanders, and the Rangers. Now, you played on both sides of the Battle of the Hudson. Both sides, I guess, if I...
Wow, I didn't even realize that.
That's a trivia question, kid.
Yeah, both sides in Battle of the East River, too, I guess, if you want to go with the Islanders. So, what was it like playing all those sides? I mean, you know, because those teams fucking hate each other, and you have to, like, you know, have the hate with
and
one team.
And then knows everyone. What's up, kid? How you doing, guy?
And then the next season... Do it again. What was that like playing specifically for, you know, those three teams, you know, like in pretty close proximity to each other time-wise?
So I got drafted by the Rangers, played briefly there, which was pretty cool. If you can make it for the Rangers,
you can make it there. You can make it anywhere, right?
Yeah, it would have been awesome.
Dude, New York City.
Wah-wah.
That was right off of BC?
Yeah.
Okay. The same year?
No, I went in next year. Like, okay. That's like a...
We'll go into that.
Yeah. Yeah. I just, bulk of my time there was in Hartford, which was the minor league team. But, you know, great getting a little bit of exposure to the city and like just MSG and like it's so fun, right? But ultimately, I saw it from the Devil side, that rivalry. And the Devils came into the league like late, you know, like they're in Colorado. They moved to New Jersey in like 82.
Yep.
And, so, like, it was always, like, the...
Rangers were cocky, like...
Yeah,
you're nothing.
Like, the step-brother, step-sister, whatever. It was just never, like, really, you know, valued for the New York metropolitan area, like, as fans.
And so, you had Gretzky calling him Mickey Mouse organization.
There you go.
Yes.
So, you know, so you're in there. I'm playing in front of the best goalie that is...
Ever lived.
Yeah. So, just keep him to the outside. He'll eat it up, whatever. So, like, we had a good system, good players. At the end of the day, though, like, we wanted to beat the Rangers. We wanted to beat the Rangers. And, like, when you put money up on the board, it was big against the Rangers.
So, for people who don't know, when you play against a team that you previously played for, or, like, you play against a team or the city you're from, you know, so if I played the Bruins or whatever, or Mott's played the Bruins, you put up money on the board. Guys give you shit. Like, and if we win, that goes to the team fund. And I was always told, I don't know if Mott will give me the answer or not, but Lou Lamoriello, when the Devils played the Rangers, put up $10,000. And it was like at least once a year. I don't know about every time, but once a year. And guys are like, holy fuck. Like, it was beat. It was
No comment.
Exactly. And I've heard some things, so who knows?
Prank call.
And then the Islanders. No, the Devils is where you had your best years. You were playing like 20 minutes a game.
Yeah.
Who was the coach there that gave you that chance to finally like be a regular, like very good, solid NHL D?
Well, Brent Sutter. Right.
Oh, he was the guy.
Yeah, so he was a new coach, came in.
Canadian guy.
Okay, Western Canadian guy.
Yeah, coached in Calgary, I think, the Hitmen. Red Deer Rebels.
Red Deer Rebels. No, but Red Deer, but then he came off like, you know, like it was like a super series, and he just came into the Devils, fresh eyes, and he's like, hey, this kid can play. Next thing you know, like, there was an injury, and I we were playing 7D. I made the team. I was like,
oh. Yeah, whoa.
No, I kept going in every single day waiting for my bag to be packed. And I was like, holy shit. Like,
yes. Yes. No,
like, one we were more down day in Tampa. And like, I was in the opening day lineup. I was like,
what's
sick.
So that was what? What year pro for you? Five?
Seven.
So before that, it was pretty much all AHL.
Yeah.
Where? Cincinnati.
Yeah, so it was the Rangers, Farm, so it was like Hartford. And then I went to, I got traded to Calgary briefly, four games there. But St. John.
Oh, you were up on the Rock?
No, that's St. John's. St. John, Newfoundland. And then Cincinnati. And then the lockout year.
Did you play that year?
I played in Worcester, living in Southie here. And
oh, that's not a bad little year.
Oh, sweet. Sox win the series, too. Went to like a couple World Series games.
This is a big baseball fan, by the way, yeah, for people
we'll
who don't know.
We'll get to that game a little later. Yeah. So you had a little bit of a taste early. And then, you know, if you take a look, you have Hockey DB page. You notice, you know, a little bit of while you were playing in the AHL. Were there periods, Mike, when you were playing in the AHL, like, all right, how much longer do I want to do this? Am I going to get back to the NHL? Is that something you struggled with on like a daily basis? Or were you just saying, fuck it, I'm going to play until I can't? Like, what was that process like?
That's great. I would prepare myself like I was an NHL hockey player every single summer. And when my opportunity came up, you know what? It was opportunity and preparation that came together, and I made it to the NHL because of that. Mm-hmm. I didn't reserve myself to be a minor league. It would have been easier to like just be like, hey, you know what? I'm not going to do these extra
workouts in the summer, these skates.
Yeah, the skates or like just the extra reps or whatever it is that got me to be in elite shape. I was in elite shape every single training camp like everyone else is. But like I was really focused.
Speak for yourself.
I didn't have like...
No, I was okay.
But, you know, that's a great question because that's what happened. You know, like so an injury happened and I was playing in training camp at like the level that I could play at because I was prepared.
Huh. So... All right, so this story goes back like way before his pro times because Motz was kind of like a little like idol to me for a couple years. We went to the same high school.
Even though he was a BC guy?
Well, yeah. No, this is prior to that. So we both went to Thayer Academy in Braintree. Great school. Motz, were you there for 4 years, all 4 years, right? Were you there for middle school too?
No, just 4 years.
All right, so I missed him by a year or two, but you were one of the best, if not the best, high school hockey players in Massachusetts at that time. So, you know, you're coming out of college, like, or coming out of high school, or you think it'd be BU or BC? Like, how did it come down to being an Eagle?
All right, so...
I think you wanted BU.
I'll just, like, backtrack a little bit. There was, like, the biggest out in my life. You know, it gave me, like, the opportunity to, like, have good coaching under Jack Foley and Kevin Sullivan.
Yes. Yes.
And
Sully.
They just ran great practices. Some of the stuff I do today with the kids is because of that.
And those are good teams. A lot of kids are going D1.
We had 8 D1 players off of our team.
Yeah. That's when the ISL was real good.
Yeah. But I remember coming back. I'll get to to answer your question. But I remember coming back and I did this drill the other day. It's called a passing one-on-one. So, like, everyone plays forward and D. And I came back from BC. And I'm going against this tall, lanky...
Yeah, he would come back and skate with us.
Yeah, and like this tall, lanky, like Bambi. I'm like, look at this kid. He couldn't put one foot in front of the other.
Gangly next thing baby deer.
I'm like, all right, I'm going to go deeper and like, you know, mismatch speed. Next thing you know, the kid like regaps a bit. And like he has like a great stick. And I can't get around. I'm like, who is this guy? He's a freshman.
Like, who is this goof? Yeah. So, I remember this practice. So, I'm young, and were you a sophomore at BC?
That was a sophomore,
so,
yeah.
I think maybe you'd say your best year in college. That was the year you guys lost to Michigan.
Michigan, yeah.
So, you lost. Tough. Sorry to bring that up.
Yeah.
No, sorry to bring that up. But I just remember being a freshman in high school. He's the best player in Hockey East, and I'm watching him, and then after he grabs me, he's like, hey, come here, skate some laps with me. So we're doing laps. We crush laps. We did like 6 laps one way, 6 the other. He's like, yeah, you got to work like this. And, you know, I was 14. I was like, this is the best. And then years later, we get to know each other more and more, and we end up playing together. So it's just like such a funny road to think back now, to especially that time when you were the big, you're the big dog back on campus, or Hingham Rink, I should say. Pilgrim.
Pilgrim.
What town did you grow up in?
I grew up in Avon.
Okay.
Mean streets of Avon?
Yeah. I mean, you got to roll someone every once in a while.
Yeah. got to crack some heads. Actually, no, you were fortunate to play for the Bruins in your career. I know, you know, wasn't a ridiculously long amount of time. But being a local guy, what was it like to strap that spoke B on? I know, I mean, this is a question. I know it sounds specific to Boston, but and you could ask of any player who played for the team they grew up watching. What was that like, man? It must have been fucking dynamite.
So I was playing with the Islanders at the time, and I...
That,
you know,
must have been sick.
I just came back from, you know, getting my head knocked in or whatever. Like, so I was coming back from a concussion.
By who?
It was like two little ones.
Okay.
But ultimately,
that makes a big one usually.
Yeah. So it happened in practice. I got hit with a puck in the back of the head, and the kid's still playing right now. Is Nino Niederreiter?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Minnesota, yeah.
I'm like, hey, 5 holes a good option. Instead of like ripping around the glass and hit me in the...
It was a missed shot,
yeah,
around the glass. You were in line?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's how you got one?
Well, because... But Brian Boyle clicked me like earlier.
Oh, that's when the shots come and you're like, heads up. Everyone's ducking out of the way.
And it hit me in the back of the head.
Ouch.
You're like, can you go near side next time, please?
Well, 5 holes a good option. Honestly, exactly. You might score more goals.
Probably not going to concuss a teammate.
Yeah. Wait, so then you got traded to the Bees.
Oh, yeah. So, no, I'm
how did
coming
that work?
Back from there. So, we're down in Washington, and I'm going to the Walter Reed Clinic.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, like, that's like, I care about that, you know, just, like, shake a hand. Like, no one knows who I am, but, like, right. I just want to, like,
yeah.
But we have the ability as, say, professional athletes to get access.
Right, right.
And, you know, it's not like you're wearing your jersey or anything, but, like, you just want to shake a hand.
Right.
That's say what thank
I
you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm in a car. It's 3:58, trade deadline, and I get a telephone call from my coach. I'm like...
Past the deadline?
No, it was 4 o'clock deadline. Yeah, so I'm like, maybe, you know, wants to go grab a beer or something.
You might scratch tomorrow.
Yeah, seriously. So he's like, hey, Mats.
Coach calling is never a good thing. I would never take that as a good thing. I would just panic immediately.
So he's like, hey, Mats, you've been traded. I'm like, oh. So I'm just coming back. He's like, you've been traded to click the phone. Dropped.
No.
The call dropped.
Really?
Yeah.
So you had like 20 seconds where you're like, oh, where is it?
So all of a sudden, he calls me back. He's like, yeah, Mats, you've been traded. I'm like, all right.
Where?
But while I'm finding out by myself, like honestly, from my coach, my phone is buzzing. Bzz, bzz,
bzz, bzz, bzz. Oh, you're just getting mad texts.
Because people know already. And I didn't even know yet.
Oh, Jesus.
So he's like, hold on, I got some texts.
And he's like, Mats, you've been traded to Boston. And I was like,
that is amazing.
And, like, I shoulder checked. Like, I kind of wanted to, like, do a fist pump. And then I'm like, ah, you know.
Shucks.
Yeah.
Darn.
So next thing you know, I call
appreciate
my
all
wife.
Your help.
I'm like, all right, hey, thank you so much. You know, Cappy, blah, blah, blah. And it called my wife, and she's like, fuck you. And I'm like, no, actually, I'm serious. So she had 4 kids and a house packed up quicker than anyone could ever do it.
She's like, we're going home.
She beat me back to Boston, pretty much.
That's unreal.
So the coach called you, not the GM?
Yeah, and then I talked to the GM after.
Okay.
But like the coach eventually called me. But the quick story that, I mean, I'll make it somewhat quick. And I love this spot. Like I flew back like to Boston, like day of the game, like got right in there against Ottawa. Hop over the bench for my first shift.
In a Bruins uni. Kid from Avon.
Yeah. Hey, Sean Thornton's like, hey, Moss didn't even have to go and get like team gear. He pulled it out of his dresser. he pulled it out of his dresser drawer.
Thornton with the trim.
That's his sweatshirt he wears to every Sunday, yeah. Every Sunday skate down the rink.
No, he wears it underneath his Islander stuff.
So, that must have been awesome though, huh? I mean, just like, I mean, obviously you've been in the league for a while, you played for a few teams, but to put that, you know, the shirt of the fucking the jersey you worship growing up, man.
Yeah, it was a dream come true, really.
And were you a diehard Bees fan?
Yeah.
Borky?
Borky.
Borky and like
Cam.
Yeah, Cam. Bruce Wham Bam, dude.
Yeah, Bruce.
So you were a diehard Bees fan.
Yeah, so here you go. I get on the ice first shift. It was like, you know, quick play, offside. I went down the bench like I scored a goal, like kind of like pounding dudes.
They're like, what's,
and they're like,
what's he doing?
They're like, what? I go, hey, first shift, game played. I can play in the alumni game. I can play in the alumni golf tournament.
And like, I just got 50 years of shit from that shift.
Hey, Julian goes, get on the fucking bench once.
That's fucking hilarious.
I never heard that. You're like, dude, I just got into every golf tournament.
What's he want a fist bump for? You got a shot on that, right?
I don't know. It was an offside. Like, I caused an offside, and I was like, going down the bench like I scored a goal.
You're like, yeah, I had a great stick there. Thank you, boys. I'm in an alumni game. Oh, that is classic. What year was that?
12.
12, right? Yeah.
12.
They had just won the cup the year before.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, they were looking to get a little help on D. Same story as every trade deadline with the Bruins.
Yeah, yeah, no shit.
That can help.
That's so. Hey, actually, quickly, in terms of Boston sports fandom, how many Red Sox home games did you go to one summer?
Like 42.
42.
Wow.
Yeah, he crushes Sox games. Well, and you had the girl that just hooked you up. He made best friends with this woman that served beer.
No, my buddy's college. The mom, like.
Oh, you knew her prior?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, I just thought it was Mott style. You just met him and became best friends with him.
So, I mean, I don't want to disclose too much, but I. So when they blocked off Yawkey Way.
The first year?
Yeah. Who was on first was kind of like punished a bit on some level. So then you could get a stamp and go in. So you walk in the back and walk in. So
that's the scam, just right into the stadium.
Standing room only, right in front of Sue Cronin, who is still there today.
And is that now? She's a sweetheart. Is that what year? What year was that when they lost to the Yankees?
That was 2003.
So that was the bad loss year.
And then the next year was real, you know?
04. The next year it got done.
Well, now that it's here, the World Series stuff we're talking for a hockey podcast. That game Wednesday night. Game two of the World Series.
I wonder how many people are baseball fans. I love baseball. I especially playoff baseball. I mean, but these games now, even if you don't even like baseball, it's amazing.
Incredible. I mean, I like I said, I was a diehard when baseball as much.
You have
as
an Astros hat on right now.
I have a legit 27-year-old Astros hat in my basement from like I tweet the picture. I was a little leaguer. That was
Nolan Ryan team. Fan.
Exactly. Nolan Ryan
Express.
They were my little league team.
But when he pumped Ventura?
Oh, headlock Ventura and dummy
them. That was with the Rangers. Yeah, yeah.
So they were like I was a Sox fan from Boston. But, you know, when you're 8 years old, you like other teams.
Absolutely.
And they were like my National League Guma for like the last fucking 30 years. I always had my eye on the Stros. I rooted for them. I'm all in on them this series. But that game last night, if that was in Wednesday night, if that was an elimination game, it would have been one of the, if not the best World Series game ever.
Might have been.
It still is definitely one of them. But if the elimination game would have made it that much more intense, whatever. But unfucking real. Eight homers. They said the Astros were the first.
Five homers in extra innings.
They hit the homers in 9th, 10th, and 11th inning. That's never happened before. Like all these crazy stats that like never happened before. But just like the intensity. I mean, I said that Grinnelli before we started. I put it on the same level as like NHL playoffs, like which we.
Oh, you know, yeah. It's different, but it's here. Like.
Exactly. It's different.
The intensity of it.
There's nothing. It doesn't. Well, it can be sudden death, obviously, in the bottom of an inning. But
I just like in baseball, in the playoffs in baseball, especially at the end. You go from like relaxation, nothing, and then there's 1 second of action.
Yeah.
And then you wait like 30 seconds and it builds up again, and there's 1 second of action. It's just, it can be boring as shit for 162 for certain people, but there's no way in the playoffs. You've enjoyed it for sure.
I grew up playing baseball.
Your son, Rye loves baseball.
Rye guy loves it. A really cool stat is my grandfather, Eddie Motto, pitched to Babe Ruth.
What?
BP.
Pitch BP.
No shit, huh?
Yeah.
To the Great Bambino?
Yeah, so he was in the Blackstone Valley League, and they would just call these mill guys up and throw BP. And my dad, he mentioned it one time, then, you know.
You're like, dad's lying.
Yeah, and then my grandfather's like on, you know, his deathbed, and he's like, you know, one of the best things that I ever
On his deathbed, he said this?
Oh, no. Yeah,
that's amazing.
No, we would talk. We would sit there and listen to baseball games, like,
yeah,
in the back porch, which is, like, way better than some, you know, it's, you just have an appreciation.
School.
Yeah. But going back, my son loves it, and my wife got me two pop-up chairs, one for her, one for me, and a Yeti cooler for my birthday, so we can watch baseball in the outfield, watch our son.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, you know what? So she has her wine. I got a couple sodas. It's like, next thing you know, it's like...
You're watching Rye play baseball.
I love it. Right?
That's America.
Yeah, that is America.
By the way,
I feel like Field of Dreams.
It is America.
Nucks haven't been chucked yet, but there's definitely beers being gassed for this episode.
Of course. I mean, you know, it's a really rainy day in Boston, by the way. And I haven't seen my good friend in quite a while.
I will say there's... you know, going back to playoff baseball and the intensity, like what you're saying, nothing compares to playoff anything sport.
Yeah, right, right.
But, you know, we can speak, say, on, say, personal level with hockey, and you're getting, this is my opinion on it, you're getting everyone's best shift. You're getting everyone's best pitch. So when you see pressure happen, the guy's holding on to the ball just like that split second longer, he's yanking. Like, you can't have, like any.
You can't
more
have one
drama.
One let up.
It's so great.
And when you do, you lose in the first round or the second round. But when you win it all, you have so little mess ups by anyone.
Yeah.
And in baseball, you were saying before with the pitcher, if you see him just grab his hat one extra time, you're like, the pressure's like, he's human. It's getting to him.
Crazy.
And it's so, I know. It's tougher to see in hockey, though, because it's so fast-paced and shift by shift. Baseball, you actually have a camera on the guy in between every single at-bat, pitch, field. It's just crazy. That's why it's so good to me.
And it's got his stats underneath them. Like McCarthy last night, you know,
I didn't know where he still pitched in the majors.
Now, they're on their ninth fucking pitcher. I think he was their last pitcher last night. And, you know, it's like, all right, how much gas does this guy have left? Of course, not too much. You know, he got dinged.
Yeah, ding, ding.
You know, right center field. But are you pulling for anybody, Mike? Are you with Dodgers? I mean, I know they're old traditional, but...
I honestly just love, like, so last thing was, like, a joy to watch, in my opinion. Like, I love good baseball. So, I love good baseball. I think, you know, so I was, like, rooting just for a good game, and my buddy had money on the game, and he's like...
Who do you have?
He had Dodgers. No, he had Dodgers, and then I'm like, oh, like, so I'm rooting for the Astros, you know, just to, like, you know, down, up, whatever. But I think... For Houston, they're a likable team. There's
City
likeable,
went through a lot.
Right. You can do a bunch of different things. But I don't like Bregman. Sorry.
You hate Bregman.
No.
Speaking of the fights with Ventura.
Yeah, yeah.
In how many fights you have in pro hockey?
I had a few.
You had a decent amount.
No, in the minors, I had more. Like, it was like, hey, you know what? More passionate fights. Like, just like, and those are the fun ones.
Yeah.
Oh, those are the
I
ones.
I didn't like this kid, Sean Avery, in the NHL there. So.
You
beat me to the... I actually wrote down the question. I wrote down, he beat me. How many career fights did you have in the NHL, and were they all versus Sean Avery?
Like, I feel like if you see Sean Avery someday, maybe it's like, I'm going to have to calm myself down a little bit.
No,
he just came out with a book, by the way.
Oh, good. Good man.
Imagine how many guys he sued in it.
I hope.
I'm assuming he just sued guys in it. I guess I shouldn't say it without reading it, but...
Yeah, well, I'll read it.
Will you?
Nah. So, at the end of it, I will say I called Brian Boyle, or texted him, actually. I was like, hey, can you tell or ask Sean Avery if he'll...
they're on the Rangers at the time together?
Correct, yeah. And they're locker mates, right next door. He goes, can you ask him if he would meet me in New York City in some street, some alley? Because I want... to fight him off the ice. And B goes, I don't think he's going to go for that. So he said it.
So if he gave you a street, you're there.
Oh, done. Easy.
Yeah, you hate that.
Well, no, I think he's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
So what's Boyle say? When
he goes, I don't think Moss, I don't think he's going to go for it. And then I'm like, well, you know, at least ask. He goes, why would I waste my time with a piece of shit like him? So I'm like, you know what? On the ice, you have to open up to get your shot in. So, like, I, you know, they're like nondescript fights, whatever. But he was he was like, you know, going hard at me because he knew that I would show up, but
he knew you'd do something back and he would look good.
But like he knew that he, you know, like it's not like I was a heavyweight.
Right. Exactly. Right, he knew, he was picking his
sure.
He knew he had
then he knew
but
me.
He didn't know who you were, Mats.
No, no, so I'm asking him
a little psycho in there.
Yeah. Well, hey, off the ice, and that's the first time that's ever happened. I'm like, "Hey, I'll roll you." I'm like, you know, then I can headbutt you and I can like really get
then it's a street fight.
Yeah, then I'll win.
We're off the skates.
So, did you offer that's what we used to call in the neighborhood, offer somebody out. I offer you out for a fight. So, when you offered him out via Boyle, was that before you guys had already fought between fights or after the two fights? You guys fought at least
two times, but yeah, I think it was in between or maybe after the second one. I'm not sure the timing of it.
But it was in your memory.
He came back. He came back to the Rangers after Dallas. So it must have been after. Must have been after the second.
It was. I remember every time you guys fought, actually.
Yeah, you caught him on a nice right in that second fight because I was, you know, checking some info on your career earlier, and there were two fights. The first two that pop up were you and him.
Shout out hockeyfights.com. Like, what a website that is!
That is awesome.
Oh, yeah, it's great.
I don't know. I don't remember when it came. I don't know who owns it or who does it. I'm assuming they make money off it at this point because it's
so good.
It's unreal. Yeah. Just go watch anyone's fight ever.
There's some savages back in the day. One other thing with Avery, did you see the story that was it was on Reddit? It was a Finnish trainer. I think it was with the Kings when Avery was with the Kings. The team might be wrong, but it's kind of irrelevant to the story. There was a athletic trainer, a physical therapist type guy in the locker room, you know, worked for the team. He was a Finnish guy, and Avery used to ride him all the time, like kind of bully him around a little. And I guess the guy was getting fed up with him, and one day he come in, and the guy fucking, like, put a chokehold on fucking Avery. Got him within, like, a second of fucking putting him out, and they separated him.
Where was this?
This was when Avery played for the Kings.
You read this or something?
This was the
beginning of his...
The Finnish masseuse or therapist, whatever. He wrote the story, and then it was translated.
Well, listen, in L.A., man, that's when he said something about Dustin Brown's wife.
Right, but, right, so... I know.
No, sorry. He was a scumbag in LA.
So he fucked with the masseuse, therapist guy out there. The guy puts him in a fucking chokehold, you know, and the whole fucking, they broke it up, whatever, the whole fucking locker room cheers for the guy. Now, these are Avery's teammates, and they're cheering that the fucking trainer guy almost choked him out. And then the fucking, now the next day he comes in, and no one knows what's going to happen because, you know, he's a bully or whatever, he got called out. Avery goes over to the Finnish guy. He's like, "Ninja," and he fucking walks away and Avery never fucked with the guy after that. You know,
that's what he had to do.
He was a bully in some ways.
What do you have to do to a bully? You
know? Exactly.
You gotta knock him in the nose. I have more information about him like that. Like I would chirp to him, so that I should have had. Let's just say, and that's why he just does not, whatever. He's just on my list. Of the worst,
you've ever met.
Yeah, hockey guys are like usually solid, stand up, do whatever. But he's different. So I'll just put it that way.
Yeah. Did you ever take a beating in a pro fight?
Oh yeah,
like a bad one.
Yeah.
Who?
Igor Valiev. So I'm like, hey, so he
don't even know that name.
I know, so he was playing for the Worcester Ice Cats. And he came around the net, so I was just like sticking a puck back then or whatever. I don't know what I was doing. So it was 4-4. He gives me an
Russian.
So I'm like, I'll beat the pond. Yeah, I'll pond him out. So open palm slap to me, like this. I'm like, let's go.
What, Igor?
Yeah,
Igor wants some.
I didn't have my fight strap down. He undressed me. But then
get kicked out. No,
yeah, I got kicked out. But like I hit him like two times, like square. And all of a sudden, he just started beating the fuck out.
When you hit him and it didn't knock him out, you're like, oh, shit.
I know, right? He had this big square jaw. Like, I'm like, and like two down Main Street. All of a sudden, I'm like.
Just got more pissed off.
Yeah. And then like, you know, I have tears and, you know, like a bloody nose. And I get thrown out of the game. I'm like feeling bad in the locker room, you know.
I just got piss pounded and I left the team with 5D.
Exactly.
I did nothing for the team tonight.
Yeah. Zero. But I did get pumped. I got pumped a couple times. But
so do you watch NHL nowadays. We haven't even gotten into some current NHL. So you stay in tune with the game?
I do, yeah. I scout for the Blackhawks part of time. So like,
but I mean all around the league. I feel like a scout might just be watching one team.
I do the college stuff, but like my first thing in the morning is always watching NHL Network. They do a good job.
Yeah, I know this Bozo works there. I have to change the channel.
What a place.
Who's that?
I don't know.
What'd you say? I missed that as I was plugging NHL Network's time.
I said, I know some bozo who works there. But, change the channel and he comes on.
I'll be there next week, October 30th, 31st, check in.
By the way, I actually text him and I'm like, dude, like you do a good job.
Thanks, buddy, I appreciate that.
I am pumping the ties, but.
I appreciate that very much.
And like you look good in a suit. I tell you, I can
pull off a suit look right now. No. I've stayed looking like thin. I got such a skinny fat body, but you can't tell in a suit that it's rolls underneath.
You can't
tell. Like it could be like abs underneath, but I hide it great with a suit.
It's so good. Like you're good.
I just like how I think NHL Network does a great job. They show pretty much every goal. I mean, you're getting
they show stuff that isn't a goal either, which is better.
That's what you're talking about.
I like
young
that
guys.
Save highlights for example, you know, you don't get enough of those.
So current week stuff, just to go back quickly. My most, I don't know how to word this. The thing I was most impressed with this week, the Kevin Bieksa punch was the sickest.
He's a jump puncher. He's done that for years.
That was amazing though.
But
the first time he ever, that was UFC like.
Double dragon shit.
Like double dragon. I couldn't believe it. You could tell, by the way, I just love seeing Gudis get hit like that. Oh, I don't even know him, but I just love seeing. And the shift before, I don't know if people watched the game. Gudis and him kind of had something going in front of the Anaheim net. And Gudis backed up, dropped the gloves, like kind of like, let's do this. And Bieska's like, he goes like this, ref hops in. So I was like, I wonder if they'll fight. Like, Gudis called him out enough where
no.
I'm like, they're going again.
Yep.
Sure as shit. I didn't change it. They come out of the box, boom. And right away before, I'm like, Bieska's going to dummy him. Like, he's a tough fuck. That kid's an animal.
Well, so I played with a kid, Ryan Murphy. He played at Bowling Green. BX got played at Bowling Green.
Yeah, with Escobedo too.
Yeah. So, but like,
we gotta get BX going.
So here you go.
Juice,
like,
they call
like
him.
This. It's like he was like bar fight. Like he knocked dudes out. Like he was just like,
yeah,
like
he's
an angry
animal.
Kid. He's
they
like
call
an angry
Juice.
Kid.
That means you're an animal if your nickname's Juice.
So Murph, I don't know BX so well. I would love to like get to know him, but he's real. Like meaning like,
I think he does UFC.
Oh, he does?
Like, he trains, at least.
All right. But Murph, so Ryan Murphy, who is, like, a great dude, all this, like, we played in Lowell together. He goes, listen, BX is, like, one of the toughest kids that I've ever met. Like he's, like, rolling dudes in, like, the bar. And then, then you see him on the ice, and, like, he does that jump punch. If you, I looked him up.
You've actually seen that before from him?
If you look it up,
yeah, no, he did it at least one other time before. I want to say
like,
did he knock
three.
The dude out like
knock
this time?
No, not like that. No.
But not like Gudis. But
he likes squaring off. I don't ever want to square off. Give me out of a scrum.
But then he'll throw an unbelievable left.
Yeah, that comes from the bottom too, and it's like a quick snap left, and it's got loppy. I know he threw that right after the jump punch.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny that they call it unbeknownst to me, a Superman punch. I guess that's the in MMA they call it that.
Oh, really?
I really thought it was named after Superman because the actual icon Superman.
It looks like it.
Yeah,
because
he's
like flying
that
at him.
I'm sure, obviously, that's where they get that fucking name from. But yeah, that was probably one of the more viral clips this week.
And the other one?
The other one. Did you catch this one, Mots? It was
going to say the same one I'm thinking.
Yeah, the Kings and Ottawa Senators, they're getting ready to go to 3-on-3 overtime. And the cameraman.
Who gets to cover them?
And you see Doughty.
Doughty.
I almost go Doughty. I get fucking American. I don't know.
You love that band.
Doughty and
Brown and
Brown.
Talking about Carlson.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they're talking about covering Carlson, and you know, and
I know you cover him. Yeah. No, I know you cover him.
Brown's
I'll
take Oduya, but the best is Carlson Leno just looking at them like laughing, deciding who's gonna cover him. Those like little moments are like just awesome stuff
that stuff in the NHL is the best. And I'll tell you right now, if you're so good that you actually have three other amazing players arguing over like covering you and you're laughing. That is when you have to like realize I have life by the balls.
Yeah.
So like, I mean, if you have like somebody like the fact that Doughty's like Norris Trophy winner and he's like, can somebody else please cover him?
Yeah, exactly.
It's just the class. I know, like you said, those moments in the NHL now is like, it'll never happen, but if you could ever have players, Mike, like how funny is some of the shit said on the bench? Like chirps to guys and stuff? It would be, it's like people would laugh their balls off if they could ever hear players on the bench.
For years.
It would just never.
I would pay an extra $5 a game to have like, mic'd up plays, no announcers, just like mic'd up, unfiltered announcing, players chirping back and forth. That would be good shit. Well, one other note too. How about do you know Colby Armstrong? Of one of our former guests.
Yeah, so then. I know him through, so the Wilkes-Barre Scranton team way back in the day when he was playing there. There was like a Brendan Buckley, Scuderi, Orpik, Whitney. All these guys that I care for, then all of a sudden, like, I meet these guys. Like, so I met Colby. You know, I met Tom Kostopoulos. Like, all these guys that, like, are cool guys and awesome dudes.
Yeah, yeah.
Awesome dudes.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I know Colby's doing his thing here with, you know, like, he was up, he's up in Canada doing his.
Yeah, well, he was on NBCSN last night.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, I'm not sure if he'd been on before. I think he may have, but.
Good dude.
Did you listen? Yeah, hilarious because he's got that prairie accent. But did you?
But he's a smart kid.
Did you hear what he calls the minor league, the Minesies? Like, we had him on that episode. So last night he was on NBCSN with the boys, and we're like, oh, he must have got the call up from the Minesies. But he is. He's smart. He's hilarious. I hope they bring him back. Speaking of NBCSN,
are you talking about Army?
I'm talking about Armdog. Yeah, he was.
Dude, I saw him last night.
Yeah, dude, he got called up from the Minesies. I was saying.
Oh, him calling it the Minesies. I know. He crushed it last night.
How about Enzo? Remember Enzo?
Who's Enzo?
Hey, man, Baker.
Hey, what Wilkes-Barre?
Wait, who? Edzo?
Edzo?
No.
Enzo.
Oh,
so he had his, like, this is like prior to you. Like, he had his name on his skates. I was like, dude, six skates.
This is Enzo?
Yeah, Enzo. Like, he was like a first rounder or something. And he's like looking at me like.
Wilkes-Barre was so fun.
You came in the next year, I think. So it was like,
yes.
It was like Orpo, Scud.
I came in the lockout year.
TK.
Yeah, Orpik, Scuderi, Fleury was there. Was that?
Was those TK teams still there?
Yeah, Kostopoulos was the year that I came in for just the playoff run. We lost to Milwaukee in the finals.
Dude, he's the best.
If anyone knows Tom Kostopoulos, he was a funny, funny bastard.
Yeah, but
too.
He's wicked dry.
Has he played 20 years?
Close.
He's still
close.
Playing, right?
Yeah.
He's captain of Wilkes-Barre. So
but we
got to get him on here.
We were lined up on a face-off. So Buck,
yes,
Brendan
Buckley,
is you know, part of the crew. And he's like, Moss is getting married, blah, blah, blah. So on a face-off, Kostopoulos is like, hey, I just got married. I got a good flower guy for you.
You don't know him?
I don't know. I got a good flower guy.
And he won't even smile.
No.
He'll just stay dead. Yeah, that's a hilarious name. I hadn't thought about him in forever.
TK.
So Army, but are you going to talk about how NHL and NBC didn't get Edmonton?
That's
Pittsburgh?
Literally, well, yeah, you skipped off to grab another.
Sorry,
by the
buddy.
Way, these things are 7.5, boys. Just a heads up when you're slugging these bad
well,
boys.
I just had one of them.
No, you're in them. That's about, yeah.
They're going the down last like one. Situate girls.
Yeah, the other, I think it was Tuesday night. You got Pittsburgh playing Edmonton, and the game is only, you can only get the game in America legally if you're in Pittsburgh or if you're paying, you know, for either center ice or the NHL TV. So it's like, man, you know, you got a chance to showcase the fucking best veteran versus one of the best young players, the best young player, head-to-head. And all due respect to our pal Jack Eichel, they got Buffalo versus Detroit on.
I tweeted out, but I was on, I kind of saw the other side. Someone tweeted me, and he could be making it up, but it's like, they're looking at Larkin and Eichel, USA Hockey.
Right,
and it's
right.
NHL, you know, it's not on Canada. So I kind of see it, but you just wish that at least maybe NHL Network pick up those type games. I mean, they play twice a year, you know?
Well,
and McDavid sniped.
But then Buffalo was on the very next night. So that kind of, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's just these things that, as much as we love the game, we love the sport, it's they make these stupid fucking things. Like, how this is such an opportunity to, like, you know, help grow the game a little more. And they miss it. But, what I mean, you know, it is what it is. One more kind of game before we get to our all right Hamilton
segment.
Time is flying. We got a couple chat
We could do like a 3-hour one, Mots.
Yeah, honest to God.
We should do a 5-hour one one night.
Mots, did you happen to hear?
By the end, people are like, what are they talking about?
Ben Bishop got yanked from the Dallas game. No, no. He was. They interviewed him after the game.
Ben Bishop and Hitch.
And what was interesting, I
saw
was the Twitter feed for the team itself actually tweeted out his comments, and he was like, you know, he didn't call out Hitchcock, but he's like, yeah, I don't understand why I was pulled. He's like, we were down 1-0, you know, it was a goal behind the net. Then the second was kind of a lucky goal. They go up 3-2. Basically, like, we had a lot of hockey left, and why the fuck did I get pulled?
And they lost 5-3.
And they ended up losing. Of course, they, you know, they replaced him with the inferior goalie. I mean, you can't say Letnam's better than Bishop. And I know coaches do that.
Hitch don't give a shit.
Well, exactly. He doesn't. I know he's done that a lot to jostle the team or whatever, but just it was interesting to hear the goalie call it his coach, I guess, without naming him.
Yeah.
And then for the team to fucking tweet it out as
usually they're trying to hide it.
Exactly. I mean,
Hitch had a quote the next day, or maybe that night, I don't know. I saw him in a hotel lobby, all the reporters, and he goes, are you worried that he could be upset with you? He goes, well, I'm not worried at all. If you coach in this league afraid of conflict, you'll last 5 minutes.
Right, right.
And I thought, like, it's a different time now, so you can make an argument for either way. But for him, he was like, I don't give a shit. Like, I'm going to do whatever I think helps the team win, and I don't care who I'm pissing off, how much money you make. That's just kind of his style.
Yeah. You ever have any incidents like that?
I just feel that, NHL coaches are over a barrel no matter what. Like, you
hired to be fired.
Yeah. You deal with egos. You know, obviously, you know, you have to coach, but some of these players, if they're not buying in, because they're making like a lot of money, right? Let's just say. So these kids who don't care because they're just getting a paycheck and like they're like, hey, you know what? I'm better than, say, the coach. Like, it's crazy.
Like, they're not getting rid of me before they get rid of him.
Correct. Correct. It's easy to fire a coach. You can't fire a player.
Right, right.
So my best coach, he's like more of a psychologist. Like he could manage egos.
Right.
He could get the best out of each player because he knew how to like push a certain button. And like that's important.
That's the new age. And Hitch is old school.
Well, like, and they just brought Hitch.
But it was Jacques Lemaire.
Oh, he was that way?
Yeah.
He knew how to do that?
Yeah, like he's a Hall of Fame hockey player. And then he's a Hall of Fame coach.
Yeah, that's actually, that's
which
so
is crazy.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Exactly.
Is he the only guy that's both? He might be.
I don't know. That's a good question.
Scotty Bowman ain't a Hall of Fame player, was he?
No, he can't take it.
But obviously, Hitch ain't going anywhere. They just brought him in. Bishop's not going anywhere. But it's also, I think, too, in Dallas where it might even get more play in other cities because it's Dallas and they don't have, not that they don't have media there, but they don't have like, but with Boston and Philly and Rangers do it, guys are going to be fucking beating the drums about it for 5 days.
Yeah, and Ezekiel Elliott's suspended, so they got nothing to talk about.
Yeah, good point.
There you go.
One other quick note. We talk about them every week because they keep winning. Vegas Golden Knights, 7-1.
Love them.
14
love
points them. In 8 games played. But I'll tell you, I mean, he's only played 2 games, but it might be probably the shrewdest signing of last summer by the Vegas Golden Knights when they signed Oscar Dansk. Now, he's their current
center. I know.
Now, he was drafted by Columbus in 2011. He played...
Where's he from?
Up in junior. He's from Sweden.
Okay.
He played up in junior for 2 years. Then he went back to Sweden, and he was still, you know, their property. This past summer, his contract was up. Columbus opted to bring him back. And the guy, he was taken 31st overall. He was the first pick of the second round. The next goalie after Malcolm Subban.
So he must have had a rough couple years then.
Did he get signed as a goalie? He was signed, but no, Columbus didn't re-sign him.
But I'm saying he must have struggled. Was he struggling in pro?
Well, see, the thing is, I looked at his Swedish stats, it's tough to tell because, you know, the guy...
He wasn't playing in North America at all.
No, he played 2 years in junior.
But the past few years.
In the last couple, he was in the Swedish Elite League.
So you don't... Yeah, maybe he could be great over here.
Well, that's what I'm saying is that Vegas Golden Knights did great scouting on the guy because, you know, here was a guy who was talented enough to get picked first in the second round. Now he's a free agent and had the foresight, let's bring this guy in, and now he's their starter. Again, he's only played 2 games. Who knows? Maybe the wheels will fall off, but right now it's looking like a pretty fucking shrewd move by the Knights.
Winning is, I mean, them to get off a big close start, even if it comes back to life, they don't make the playoffs, who knows what's going to happen, but just the way they started, now the fans are in. Like,
oh, absolutely, yeah.
It was exactly what they needed. Like, the place looks nuts for games. Have you been watching any of them?
You know, so when I watch a game, I'm like, they play with pace.
I want to
like,
watch them.
Yeah, no, and like the fans that like the when they score, like everyone's up.
They're going bananas. It's, they're all on like Molly and shit at the games. I bet.
And they have cool uniforms too.
I do. I like their unis. I didn't think I'd like the white gloves, but it's just growing on.
Yeah,
me.
They grow on you.
I'm
yeah.
just like waiting. I'm like, all right, well, it's gonna come back, and it will, right? But right now, it's like basically at home. By the way, they've caught a couple teams that get in there the day before.
Yeah.
Well, God knows. I don't give a fuck. Especially early in the year. Guys are going if they're in there the day before. So it's like kind of what everyone said when they first came out. Everyone made the joke. Oh, 41-0 at home. Well, they're rolling through teams at home.
Yeah.
So maybe that actually is what's going on.
But to your point about the goaltender, I mean, like, you're an expansion team. You're not supposed to have depth.
Yeah.
Right now,
right.
It's pretty cool.
You have two goalies down.
Number three, yeah. He's the number three goalie, you know.
So I love seeing, like, a kid get an opportunity and
run with it. That was Motzen jersey. Just ran with it.
No, I didn't like the first goal like against Chicago there, the shorthanded one, Hayden.
Yeah.
You know, it was weak, but then he showed up. Yeah, then he showed up.
Pretty much.
Shout out to John Hayden. Anyone you watch that kid at all?
I like that kid a lot.
Yale. Four years, I think.
Fan of the podcast.
Dude, what's up, Hayden?
Oh yeah.
Hey. First of all, dummied Foligno.
Yeah.
A little bit of a lucky punch, Hades, I mean, but still a great punch if you're listening. Dummies him, scores a big goal, played at Yale, grew up a huge Rangers fan, I'm told, and then actually with free agency picks to sign with Chicago and the Rangers going after him. So he's made, I mean, to make Chicago play on that line and kind of just play his style, he looks great for them.
So I'll tell you a quick story.
Love that.
Like in a summer little spot, he dummied a kid. You know,
in a summer skate?
Yeah, I know. Like absolutely dummied a kid. And I hear stuff, so I'm a Chicago scout, and he's drafted by Chicago.
You're like, okay, is this a skate around here, Foxborough?
No, it was,
different one. All right.
Yeah, and I know that he can take a punch and he can give a punch, so I don't think it was a lucky punch. He was there.
Oh no, it wasn't lucky, but it was. He was kind of taking a couple and then threw a bomb.
Yeah, there you go.
That's what I'm saying. It was a bomb.
It's like smell you later. Open up to give one.
You got to give him credit for that.
Yeah.
All right. I know. We're running out of time.
Yeah. No. I know.
Sorry, boys.
No. You please. You haven't done anything wrong. This is our usual shitheadedness. We do.
We can go forever. We haven't seen each other. Okay. All right, Hamilton.
Yeah. You're familiar with All Right Hamilton. We take
no chance.
You're gonna be in a minute. We get questions from our listeners, and sometimes they're pro questions that I can't answer, but I make one up. But we got two pros, so fire away, Mikey.
All right, so the first one, Griffin asks, who is the coolest person the team got to come speak for the guys in the room before a game?
All right, Hamilton.
No, it wasn't before a game, but at the Olympics, a Navy SEAL spoke to us. It might have been in the summer camp. It was unreal, like, listening to those stories. I never had somebody, like, come in the locker room. Besides the coach, I don't know. Did you?
Yeah, is that? Yeah, go ahead.
You know, the quiet man.
Who's that?
John Thornton?
No. He's a boxer. The quiet man.
John Ruiz from
correct.
Chelsea.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Who brought him in?
Claude Julien.
Really?
He was in there. Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
No shit. Huh? Yeah.
He's had
he read the lineup. He read the lineup card.
Yeah, no. He was impressive because like he just was like, hey, you know what? It was like, get hit or hit.
Yeah.
And it was a very simple message.
See, yeah. There I would go. Think, like, something that probably doesn't go on all that much. Because you guys are pros.
So.
I mean, you know, like, it would almost be like a sideshow. Obviously, once in a while, if you're brought in, like, you know, like, obviously someone might, you know, a military guy or whatever. But if just to do it for doing it, I think players will kind of see right through.
There's not
shit,
a
you know?
Lot of pump-up speeches in pro hockey.
Yeah, you guys know what the fuck
it's
job
just
is.
Like, let's go, boys. You got it. You know, you're chirping each other. There's no, like, there weren't many rah-rah speeches in my career.
I had one that, you know, it gets you going, but like, it was really from a player. So,
but if you go to the well too often, it fucking runs
out.
Yeah,
you can.
Exactly. That's why I heard Brooks only gave one. Next up, Mikey.
All right, so Maki asks, Arizona, Florida, Atlanta, Carolina, all franchises that have struggled or struggle in their respective markets. Why do you think Dallas hasn't as much?
All right, Hamilton.
It's Arizona. Pretty say those again. Question. Arizona, Florida.
No, he's saying Florida. Florida.
Arizona, Florida, Atlanta, and Carolina.
Okay, he knows that Atlanta doesn't have a team anymore, right?
Yeah, that's why I said struggled.
They left.
Did you listen to the question already?
Yeah, he's rewriting it.
Well, he said struggle and struggle. That's why
Why doesn't Dallas struggle for fans being in the South? Great question, actually.
I don't know. I honestly haven't looked at their attendance figures.
They're always pretty good.
They've always been good.
It always matters if your team's good, basically.
True.
Yeah, that's like the ultimate. But moving from Minnesota to Dallas was like really like a big deal. But like Dallas Texans love their sports.
Oh, they do.
But other markets like Carolina, like we played like them in. So I was in Jersey, Game 7. Game 7
wasn't even like sold out, right?
No, but it was we were in Jersey, but like Game 6, it was like, eh.
Yeah, I know it's so, and they're good now. Carolina's good. Nobody wants to watch them. It's so bad.
They are good though.
It doesn't make sense to me because like when they won the cup, it seemed kind of crazy there.
But demographic, let's just put it demographic. So like, I think hockey has moved into these different spaces because ultimately it was because of Gretzky going to
LA. I think that was really
the Sun Belt.
Absolutely.
You know, the Sun Belt, all of a sudden, like, we have Austin Matthews, number one pick out of Arizona. It's like,
and so, he's amazing.
Right.
And
like I think that is because Gretzky got traded to LA.
Absolutely.
I'm dead serious.
I agree with that. Like, 100%, because that proved that hockey could work in a warm weather climate. And then that gave the idea for, and people like to bitch about Bettman with expansion, but expansion plans were well in place before Bettman even took the job over. That Gretzky proved it. And it is ironic that Arizona struggles, you know, attendance wise. But without them, we might not have ever gotten Austin Matthews because they were there. They were the hockey team he looked up to, and he decided to play hockey.
100%, he's not playing hockey if they're not there.
Yeah.
But they're in Glendale. Like, if it was in Scottsdale, it's a different
animal.
We've
talked about that before.
Different animal.
It's a joke.
Yeah.
Any other ones?
Yeah, so this is the last one. We got PK who asks, best stories about the guys in the penalty box who work the door.
All right, Hamilton.
Ah, nice.
We had one guy damned if he wouldn't get a penalty just to.
Oh, what a classic. I don't remember any guys. Like, they would just always seem like good guys. Like,
do they talk to you?
Not really.
I talked to them.
Hey, what's up, buddy? Where you from? Anywhere good around here?
Yeah, where are you? Where do you go to eat here? I was in there for 5 minutes. I threw a left. He goes, I didn't know you're a lefty kid. I go, I'm not, but like I can surprise someone.
I got both hands going.
Was that an Avery fight?
No, that was a Randy Jones. Randy Jones.
Randy Jones almost ended Patrice Bergeron's career.
Correct.
Dude, he was a low key Sega god too back in the day. What's Randy Jones. God? Oh, when played NHL 93, 94. Randy Jones.
No. In like 2000.
Yeah, no.
Wait, who am I thinking?
No, he went to Clarkson and then.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it wasn't Keith. I'll have to go through the old rosters.
Are you thinking of Randy Burridge?
No. The stump bump.
Yeah, that's fucking hilarious.
Oh, shit. That's
good. I would imagine they tell those guys, you know, don't engage you guys in conversation. But if you guys do, chatterbox.
Imagine if you just, back. Like, hired guy to just chirp. Like, they're like, listen, just piss this guy off as much as you can. So you got a guy in there, you're like, you're fucking terrible, huh? Nice penalty. The guy fights you. He gets kicked out of the game. You're like, perfect.
That's hilarious.
And All Right Hamilton was brought to you by us. Let the people know you're gassing beers and chucking knucks and support our show by rocking our official gear. Get our shirts at barstoolsports.com/chicklets. That's barstoolsports.com/chicklets.
That wraps up
Mots. Thanks so much, buddy. How long have we gone?
Dude, we're just shy of an hour, dude. Like,
what else is going on in life, Mots? What do you got? Like, you got to go in like 10 minutes?
Oh, speaking of actually, before you got here, Mots, you would have loved it. How about the cable guy talking about Subban?
So RA's cable guy was in here, and he's like, hey, I'm a big hockey fan. How's that guy doing, Vegas guy, from the Bruins, the goalie? We're like, Subban, he's good. He actually got his first win versus the Bruins. He's like, no shit. He's like, we'll see. I hope he doesn't end up too good. I think they picked him because what they did, I think they looked at his brother. They saw he's an athlete. Let's take him. I go, yeah, that's exactly why they picked him. Yeah. You got it. He's like, yeah, I love hockey. I love it.
Yeah, I was kind of like, they definitely took him, Malcolm Subban, because his brother's PK.
They took him as a goalie in the first round because his brother's a good defenseman.
Yeah, I was like, no, pal. Chiarelli thought he set his team up for the next decade, and they thought they had a gravy pick to waste on a fucking goalie. That's the
exactly.
fucking story.
It was a cocky pick.
Exactly what it was. And again, Malcolm still may well be a number one goalie in the NHL. He started off good in Vegas, but you know, the fact that Bruins had an asset and they lost them for nothing, it just reflects poorly on them once again.
What's up, Mont?
I wrote a bunch of things down one time in San Antonio.
Oh, man. So Mont and I got to play together pro season.
I kind of want to just like pump you up a bit.
Wow, Mont, you don't have to do that. Nice of you, buddy.
Yeah. So anyway, this kid right here, for me, when I watched you play, it was like legit. Like you could walk the line. This gangly kid, like I was saying, like back in the, you know, like in high school.
All offense.
Yeah, no, but the best part is, though, like you would care. You would care about like making the right play. So next thing you know, like I go down and we're
teammates.
And like he's making the right play and he's a bitch. And he's a, like he's like,
I like, was just being a motherfucker. Yeah, so miserable.
No, but no, he goes to the bench. I go, listen, kid, like, keep making that correct play. Some of the kids can't, like, see it. Like, he jumped into this hole. Like, he wants the puck back. He's usually getting backdoor tap-ins from Sid. So it's like.
It's a little different in San Antonio. Yeah.
But at the end, I'm like, don't compromise your person. Don't be a dickhead. And he was like, hey, here you go.
That was the year before Russia when I was just like, it was like, I think I've said it before, like it was like you were on the track to really, your career would end in a way you weren't even proud of. You're just like, I'm just miserable. What am I doing? And then the year in Russia actually like changed everything. But that year when you came down, so we do have to show a picture actually on Instagram of Mott's son, Ryan, came out for his last pro game. And took warm-ups with the team, and then they got a picture of them too doing at the national anthem. They are standing up, which is good.
Your last game was with the Panthers, is that correct?
With the San Antonio Rampage.
Oh God, I'm sorry, man.
AHL affiliate.
I should have specified NHL. Yeah. Oh, that's cool though. That's a nice gesture. How'd you like Calgary? I know you weren't there for a shitload of time, but what was your experience there like? Fuck, one more question.
Unbelievable city.
Yeah.
So I was there for like a month. I only played four games, but the next year, that summer, my wife and I went out for a wedding. A minor league buddy that I grew up with, like 3 years, Boyd Kane.
Oh yeah,
remember Boyd
Kane? Hershey? What a motherfucker! Yeah, play against Boyd
exactly.
Kane.
Exactly.
God, he was a prick out there.
So, oh my God, here we go. So he's like, "Hey, can you do Toast to the Groom?" And I'm like, "Sure." So I thought I had to talk into the camera. That was like the best man speech. So whoops. So we go there, and
you got nothing prepared.
No, I have nothing. Toast to the Bride was like gorgeous. He did an unbelievable job, blah, blah, blah.
Did the Toast to the Bride?
Yeah, her cousin. And the next thing you know, I'm like, I get up there, I'm like, hey. And I start talking and everyone starts laughing because my accent maybe, whatever. And then next thing you know, I just start going. And,
oh, my God.
And like, he would get the hits.
Can you tell what that means, everyone listening, when Mott's just gets going?
But he was like, I was with him every single day for, like, 2 years. Like, we commuted to the games and the practices, whatever. But, like, when I go like this, I'm like, Charlie and his wife, I go, Sha, when he's, like, being a dickhead, give him the hips.
Give him the 10-minute.
Give him the hips.
This is the 10-minute. The slogan.
Yeah. And send him to the other room.
Crosby got one of those the other night. 10 minutes, boom.
Give him the hips.
Dude, speaking of, like, I know I keep saying we got to close it up, but speaking of wedding speeches, like, when did it become a fucking, like, a speech convention? It used to be the best man speech, and that was it. Now it's like, now the fucking the fucking maid of honor has to go. And the two girl of the bridesmaids
speeches.
And the fucking.
I've heard a lot of great guy ones. Dude, the girl speeches seriously, are nightmare fuel.
Oh my God.
The girl speeches are.
There have been some rough ones. Like, I mean, there have been some bad, you know, some rough.
And then we went to Disney speech. World, and then we were at the seventh grade prom, and then that, and you're just like, oh, yeah, where's the guy? Like, where's the guy's just, best man speech?
Where's the hook? You know, where's the hook? Like,
yeah, land the plane. Land the fucking plane.
Just like, you know, well, then when they, like, I mean, you know, I had a wedding. Like, everyone wants to go fucking viral for their wedding, too. Like, you know, it's okay to have your wedding be, like, a private moment for just
yeah, I did a surprise
there.
One.
Exactly. Like, but everyone, like, to do, like, this rap fucking, well, we're going to do, like, a rap thing together. And hopefully, it's like, just have your wedding and just fucking go home after and bang and fucking have kids and we'll
talk
to you
later. Don't even after. You're too waffled.
All right.
All right, Motz, you're the best, buddy. We could do this forever.
Yeah, we'll definitely have you back. We appreciate it.
Can we already say, will you come back? Will you be a reoccurring guest?
You know what? For the right price.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I know the price, guys. So
yeah. Right. No. It's, you know, maybe like a burger.
Six beers instead of...
No, burger. A burger.
A burger. All right. All right. Thanks again. Tune in to episode 50. We got hopefully another 150 more coming. And all right.
Peace out.
I found my thrill.